So Father, I thank you that you call us to lean on you when we feel weary and tired. You invite us to do that. You call us to rest upon you, Lord, and to take your yoke upon us, because your burden is light. So Lord, right now, I need you to help me again. So I'm handling your word, Lord, the word of God, and I am in myself, Lord, incapable of doing that job. And so I ask you to take control of this message. And Lord, if you would, just open the hearts and minds of everyone who is to receive it. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, today's message is entitled, Are You Talented? Are You Talented? And I'm going to start with a reasonably sized reading from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. And it is a familiar parable that we're going to look at this morning. So Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. This is Jesus talking. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another one talent, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. And so also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents, and see, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents, and see, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and, well, gathering where you've not scattered seed. So, well, I was afraid and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is, what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, did you? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents now. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Big encouragement, massive warning. I looked at the 2 meanings of the word talent. The first meaning of the word talent is a natural ability, natural aptitude or skill, such as he possesses more talent than any other football player, that kind of thing. Similar words, so that kind of talent would be a flair or an aptitude, gifted. He has a knack or a technique, ability, an expertise. the capacity to do something, the power to do something, the strength, the dexterity, the skill, cleverness, virtuosity, that kind of thing, that kind of talent. And of course, the opposite to that meaning is an inability and a clumsiness. And the second meaning is what you'd expect to be the meaning in this parable we've just listened to. The talent was a formal weight and a unit of currency. Money, in other words, used especially by the ancient Romans and Greeks. A talent apparently was worth several hundred pounds. So, whichever way you look at this, whether the talents were intended to be money or the talents are intended to be aptitudes, abilities, or skill sets, the fact is, in this parable, Jesus makes it clear that they were given, not sold, they were given by the master of the servants with a clear objective, and that was that the talents, whether they were just five talents or one talent, were to be used. They were to be used for the benefit of a master. Now, I have no doubts whatsoever that this is Jesus telling each one of us here that we are responsible and answerable to God for everything that He has given us. Answerable to God for everything that He has given us, whether it appears to be much or appears to be little. Whatever it is, it was given to us to be used for His glory, for the glory of God, to be used to produce interest, increase. Now, if you're honest, you should be asking yourself, what are my talents? Or you might be saying, who is my master? What are my talents? Who is my master? The talent thing might take a while to discuss what your talents are, but the question about who or isn't or is not your master, well, that should be quite quick to determine, if you're honest with yourself. If your desire is not primarily to serve God, then, let's face it, you have more than one master. And we're all a bit like that, if we're honest. We'd like to serve God all the time, but in reality we have to serve ourselves a little bit. So this other master that you have then, it could be money, it could be luxury, power, influence, clothes, cars, or put quite simply, self, a selfishness, i.e. you are your own master. In reality, to some extent, you're doing exactly what Satan hoped that you would do. You would serve him by serving yourself, and he will arrange for you to have what you think you desire, so long as you do the right things. It might work for your natural lifetime. You might get away with it, getting everything you want, fast cars and women and men and whatever. It might work right until the chips are down. Right until the hens come home to roost. Right until when the real master returns, you might get away with it. And that's when we could be in a very difficult situation. Okay, let's assume we are talking about how wealthy we are then. Maybe you were born to wealthy parents, born with a silver spoon in your mouth perhaps. I don't know if there's anybody here who falls into that category. I wasn't one. And maybe you didn't have to work too hard to experience wealth. Maybe you need for nothing and are financially secure. Maybe you're very fortunate in that case then, but it's not necessarily a blessing if in your wealth you have a bad attitude towards God. And Jesus warns us about this in this other parable. He likes parables, just Jesus. The parable about being very rich can be very dangerous. In Luke 12, 19 to 21. Do you remember this? And I'll say to myself, you've got plenty of good things laid up for many years now. Take life easy. Go on, take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. Everything in balance. If you just store it up for yourself, you've got a problem. But it doesn't say that. That's wrong here. It says anyone who stores things up for himself but isn't rich towards God. That's where the problem lies. God doesn't want you to be poor necessarily. He just doesn't want you to be a miser. And he doesn't want you to be mean and not to share what you've got. And that's one of the amazing things about the tithing principle, isn't it? And this sermon's not about tithing. But the tithing principle is very fair. 10% of your income is just that. It's just 10%, isn't it? So that's 1 pence in 10. It's 10 pence in a pound. It's 10 pounds in 100. 100 pounds in 1,000. 10,000 in 100,000. And 100,000 pounds in 1,000,000. So if you're not willing to give God 10p out of your pound, it's not very likely that if you were a millionaire getting £1 million annual income that you'd give him £100,000 a year, is it? There's a principle there. But the question remains, are you talented? And what are your talents? Maybe you do have plenty of money and maybe you don't. Maybe you don't have much at all. But I challenge you today in saying that God has given you something of value. And he seeks a return on that thing, that investment. So what has God given you and me? Now, as I look around this small group of people, I see people who are intelligent. I see some people who are academic. I see some people who are good listeners. Some people who are notably kind. I see some people who are good with children. I see some good communicators. I see good people who can read well. And I can see people who even can write well. I see some people who are physically strong. I see some people who are very musical. I see some people who are incredibly observant and don't tend to miss anything. And some people who are very reliable and steady. I see some people who are wealthy and I see some people who are not. I see some are good with computers. I see some are good with maths, good with money. Some are artistic, some are scientific, and I go on and on and on. And we're not all the same at all, are we? And a few people in this place will be talented in more than one thing, maybe in two or three of those different areas, or more even. Some will not be gifted in those areas. But perhaps they're gifted in areas that I haven't mentioned yet. But out of all those people, how many of those people are using their talents? Those talents you said to yourself, yeah, I can do that. Oh yeah, I'm a bit like that. How many of those people are using their talents in honour of our Master today? And if not, why not? Why not? Let's look at Romans 12, verses 4 to 8. Just as each of us has one body, not many of us have more than one body, with many members and parts of our body, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, who are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And if a man's gift is prophesying, let him do it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. Let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. And if it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. And if it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So what have we got there? We've got prophesying, we've got serving, we've got teaching, we've got encouraging, we've got contributing to the needs of others, and that could be giving to other people, and we've got leadership, we've got showing mercy, which I think maybe is counselling and prayer and helping people. And perhaps today you're not sure what your gifts or your talents are. Maybe you're not sure what God has given you. Perhaps you need to be encouraged by someone with the ability to see where your gifts lie. And if that's you, don't potentially hide or bury your gift. If you've got one talent and you're not quite sure what it is, don't bury it. You get into trouble if you do that. If it's been given to you by God, then it's of value to both to him and to the rest of us. If you bury your talent, you're not doing anybody any good at all. Not you, not me, not us. And God is not chuffed with that. Look at Galatians 6, 2-5. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Test your actions. And then he can take pride in himself, without comparing himself to anybody else. For each one should carry his own load, or her own load. I'm going to read that again because it's important. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself or herself. Each one should test his or her own actions, and then you can take pride in yourself without comparing yourself to anybody else. For all of us should carry our individual loads. So this is the irony of this. Not only are we expected to carry our own load, the one assigned to us by God, but we're also called to share the burden of others and to help them carry their burdens. Which, when you think about it, if everybody's doing that, somebody's also going to help you carry your load, aren't they? And then you think to yourself, well, it makes you wonder if we'll ever get any time for ourselves. But what are we seeking? Are we just looking for fun and relaxation? Or are we looking for peace and rest? There's a subtle difference between those two things. Are you looking for fun and relaxation, or are you looking for peace and rest? Have you weighed the difference between the two things? And are they mutually exclusive? In Matthew 11, 28-30, Jesus speaks again. And he says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, at first glance, to me anyway, this sounds a bit confusing, because surely what you're looking for, if you're weary and you're burdened, is a holiday, isn't it? Isn't that what we're looking forward to now? Now that we can't have one? If you're weary on your burden, in the back of your head you're thinking, oh, if only I could go on holiday somewhere, even in this country. Have a week off. Better still have 2 weeks or 3 weeks off. Isn't that the average person? Isn't that what they're looking for? When they feel tired and they feel worn out. And yet, this is the funny thing, isn't it? It seems that Jesus is saying to us, if you are feeling like that, if you are weary and you're burdened, we should take on doing his work too. Excuse me? Surely that can't be fair, can it? Here I am feeling worn out, rushing around like a blue bottomed fly. Surely you don't have to do somebody else's work as well as that, do you? Has it occurred though to you yet that the very reason that you're feeling weary and burdened could easily be, listen, it could easily be because you or we have not put on Jesus' yoke and are not learning from him? Could it be that? Is that why we're weary and burdened? Because we didn't do what he said to do. He said, if you're weary and burdened, you do this. What did he say? He said, put my yoke upon you and learn. That all sounds like hard work, doesn't it? But he said it. So if that is the case, then what exactly are we wearing ourselves out about? Think about it. Why are you weary and burdened? Why are you getting worn out? Why are you tired? You can't blame it all on the pandemic. It seems to me that Jesus has a plan for us, and it's not to wear ourselves out over things that can be avoided. And also, our concern shouldn't be exclusively for ourselves, but to assist our brothers and sisters, if we can. I guess that is how putting on Jesus' yoke works. A yoke is designed not just to fit your shoulders, but also to harness you to someone else who is pulling the same kind of weight or burden. Clearly, if we're working for Jesus, we have his assistance, i.e. when we are weak, he is strong. And we should also have assistance from our brothers and sisters, because they will see what you're doing and agree with it and want to help. They should be able to see that you need a hand. The quote is, you will find rest for your souls. Is that what you're looking for? Would that be nice? Do you want rest for your soul? God provides a Sabbath day rest, Shabbat Shalom, for all who believe. It was made for man and woman, not just men, men and women, in order to make sure that they don't work more than 6 days a week. We covered that recently, because it probably didn't happen when they were slaves in Egypt. And one of the first things that God said, don't wear yourself out. Don't be a slave. Take a day off. And don't forget me in the meantime. And that's because even if we are wearing Jesus' yoke and learning from him, as did his disciples, I mean, think about his first disciples, that's exactly what they were doing. They still needed the occasional day off to rest. Jesus saw to it that they did. He drew them aside to rest and recuperate. And if you're not getting one of those, you're probably working for someone or something else. Think about it. You're not in jail. Think about it. What is causing it to happen? And if you do manage to get away for a holiday this year, I'm not trying to be put a damper on this, but even if you do, are you sure that it'll make all the difference? Because you can't tell what the weather's going to be like, for one thing. And what about this? What if this holiday that you've got your heart set on, what if you come home weary and burdened? What if you come home and something's happened to your house while you've been away? You put your animals in kennels and you come back and one of them's sick. This is life, people. That's what life's like. So would you still need a rest? Is your soul weary and burdened? Okay, right, so to find out what God's will is for us then, we need to know what his word says, don't we? He might speak directly to us, but that is a fairly rare occurrence from my experience. More often than not, as we search his word and guidance in the Bible, we hear his voice speaking to us simply because the Bible is the inspired word of God. He speaks through his word, and it saves him a lot of time repeating himself because it's been written down. He may not tell you something that he's written down. Read the book. But there is a health warning I've got to give you here. And this is the health warning. Warning, health warning. And this is the health warning in Luke 12, 47 to 48. Jesus again. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants him to do will be beaten with many blows. You'll be beaten. That doesn't sound nice, does it? But the one who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with few blows. For from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Okay, one or two points here then. If you hear from God and you don't do what he's telling you, eventually you're in trouble. Sorry about that. If you don't know what he wants and continue to do things deserving punishment, you still get into trouble. And you'll be for a beating anyway, by the sounds of it. So what's the purpose of a beating? That doesn't sound right, does it, to be going around beating people up? Well, I looked up two proverbs, actually, which might it might answer some of the questions in your mind. Proverbs 19:29 says this: penalties are prepared for mockers. I presume that might mean mockers of God. You mock the word, you don't take the word seriously. And beatings for the backs of fools. And now, fools often in the Bible refer to people who are not people who are of low intelligence, but people who are delinquent in their attitude to God. In other words, they don't give a damn what God thinks. Right? So they're considered to be foolish. You don't care what God thinks, you are a fool. And the other proverb is Proverb 20:30, which says, blows and wounds cleanse away evil. I love this one. And beatings purge the inmost being. Do you know what? You go to jail nowadays, it's like, comparatively to what it was 100 years ago, it's a life of luxury, right? There was a time you used to get beaten. You used to get horse whipped. And what was that other thing they used to use? A birch. You used to get birched. That's right. The older ones among us remember such things. And I dare say, we've got an ex-policeman at the back. I bet he understands what you do with a truncheon. You try and use a truncheon nowadays, you get locked up, even if you're a policeman. But there's something about this punishment that is in Scripture. Do you remember it last week, last Sunday? You know, spare the rod and spoil the child, that kind of thing. And so it starts through you know, your children. Steer them in love. Steer them, seriously steer them. Now, not too long ago, there was a thing called corporal punishment, wasn't there? Do you remember that? Was anybody over 50 would remember corporal punishment in school. So it was so called because it involved physical punishment of a person's body. And that's why it's called corporal punishment, because the Latin for body is corporis, as in Italian it is corpo. So corpo is the body, the physical body. Corporal punishment is punishing the body, the flesh. And Paul talks about that, doesn't he? I guess that being beaten, if it saves you from eternal death and separation from God, is not that severe after all. If it serves a purpose, and if it works, and if it does help to purge away evil, then maybe we should never have got rid of it in the first place. You know, there's some extremes to this, because, I mean, in the Roman Catholic Church, I know of people who, I've seen it done, and it's on YouTube and all sorts, they think that in going up to a shrine on their knees, self-flagellating themselves and making themselves bleed is a means of purging themselves and making them more holy. I mean, that is the full extent of how far you can take this if you go off the rails, right? But fasting and praying is a little bit like this. It's denying your body, isn't it? All right, to round this message up then, getting towards the end. Final question, are you talented? Are you talented? Yes, of course you're talented. Everybody here is talented. Because in the parable, everyone got something from the master. The question is still this: are you using that talent, that gift? It may be gifts other than the ones that we talked about. It might be the gift of tongues, it might be the gift of interpretation, it might be the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are you using those? I was today, and believe me, it was such a terrible place this morning. I was praying in tongues a lot today, especially when I had to go back and fix out the projector. Because you're under attack, people. it's the real thing. You're under attack. What are you going to do about it? Roll over and die? You win, Satan. Come on. Fight. Are you using your talent? The gift that he gave you. Have you got anything in your back pocket that you put in there some time ago and you keep forgetting it to bring it out? Some kind of a tool or a weapon. Some kind of thing that can be used. But if you've got more than one gift or more than one talent, remember this: from everyone who has been given much, much more will be demanded. That doesn't sound fair either, does it really? If you're multi-talented, you can do everything. It doesn't seem fair. The harder you try, the more you get to do. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. But Jesus said, in the end, he will put you in that position as a blessing. So how can it be bad if he is giving you the power and the ability to do his work? Are you sharing his yoke? He's doing it with you. Isn't that what we want to do? We want to hang out with Jesus. But even if today you consider that you've got nothing of value, you're worthless, you've got nothing that you can give to God, you can't contribute to his church, you don't know where to start, let me tell you this: you are wrong. You are wrong if you think you've got nothing of value to give to God or to the church. Can you pray? You may not be able to pray out loud. You may not be able to stand there, a lectern, and mouth off like this. But can you pray? Can you go into your room at night and just pray to your Father who is unseen? If he's your Father, you can. If he's not your Father, you might find it difficult. Can you encourage other people? Some people are more gifted at that than others. But anything you say, even a smile, can be an encouragement. A smile that wasn't actually asked for. You know, just you look at somebody in the eyes and you smile. And you feel better for receiving a smile, don't you? Maybe you could give some of your time, some of your money, some of your support. Maybe you don't feel that way inclined. But don't tell me you're not gifted, and don't tell me you're not talented. The church is not short of people, believe me. I know this. The church is not short of people offering advice or criticism. What it is short of is people who will share the burden and the responsibility. Always short of that. And every part of the body of the church, has a purpose. And if it isn't working properly, then another part that may not be quite precisely designed to do that task or that work is being overworked, overburdened, and maybe getting weary and unnecessarily burdened as a result. Now, you're not being asked to do anything more than God made you to do. You're not slaves. You're not being paid. But God has given you talents. And he's spelt it out and he's made it clear that it's all for your own benefit. Ironically, it's all for you. It's for your own benefit. And this is why. Even if you have been given only one talent, that talent is precious. And it's needed by the rest of us. And because God gave it to you, whatever it is, he wants to hear it or see it or experience it, and he wants to use it for the Father's glory while we're here in these bodies on earth, which is running out. Because remember, today your life is required of you. Could be tomorrow, could be today, could be a long time from now. But one day the Master returns. So let's look on the positive side of this from Matthew 25:23. The positive side is, remember, the ones who did what the Master told them to do, his Master replied, "Well done, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things." A few things. That's all it is, a few things. "I will put you in charge of many things." And then this bit I like. "Come and share your master's happiness." He's happy, you're happy. That doesn't sound, does it, like weary and burdened? Come and share your master's happiness. Oh, but I'm weary and burdened. I haven't got the energy to share your happiness. Come and share your master's happiness. Father, help us to be good and faithful servants, Lord. Help us not to see servanthood as being slaves and being driven by slave drivers. But Lord, knowing that we do your will and that you are not just watching from a distance, Lord, but you are actually empowering us and encouraging us to do the very things you called us to do, Lord. So may this message from you, Lord, hit the mark and encourage us through 2021 and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.